Okay, so Book of Haggai. It's a little book. Haggai in original Hebrew means my feast or festal one. And if you're Scottish, it's a plural form of haggis. So what I'd like to do tonight is I'd like to read the first of four prophetic sermons from Haggai. That's what makes up the book of Haggai. But I also like to touch a little bit on the history and the background because it's important to understand the original audience to whom Haggai was speaking. And he was the first post-exilic prophet. He was speaking to the Jews that came back into the land after Babylonian exile. But first, let's read the text of Haggai chapter 1. This is 15 verses. It's not bad. In the second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says, the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt." Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. And when you bring it home, I blow it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because of my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, on what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, and on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, and the Lord their God, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people showed reverence for the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by commission of the Lord to the people, saying, "I am with you, declares the Lord." So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. So if you don't know, the first temple, of course, was built by Solomon. And then the exiles, the first of which was the Assyrian exile, which was the northern kingdom of Israel after they'd split. Then the second and third exiles were into the Babylonian Empire, the King Nebuchadnezzar, and the third exile was the important one because it was to quash a rebellion in Jerusalem. And not only did Nebuchadnezzar take the Jews from their homes at that time, he destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. And the temple, of course, is crucial to the Jewish society of Israel. It's in Mosaic law, that was the center of Jewish life. They were a theocracy. So the temple was where you went to perform sacrifices, to bring your tithes and offerings, where you drew near to God. So when the temple was destroyed and the people were taken out of their homes, it was a pretty hopeless situation. Of course, the good thing about the Babylonian Empire, although it was vast, it was also very short-lived. And the Persian king Cyrus defeated the Babylonian Empire and had a very different attitude towards the Jewish remnant. In 589 BC, he decided to let them go back home. But not only that, he told them they could rebuild the temple and even use goods and money from his treasury towards that end. So here the people are going back home, they're rebuilding the temple, a very happy time. Their hope is restored, and it's a good deal. Unfortunately, we read in the book of Ezra that the Samaritans, along with some implants from Assyria, decided they wanted to be involved in the temple building as well. And long story short, the Jews said, "This is our temple, we're building it." And because of that rejection, that group of people just made life a mess for the Jews. They went back to the authorities of the Persian Empire, making false claims that they were misusing funds and things of that nature. It's all outlined in the book of Ezra. And so the work on the temple, although they had laid a foundation, it was halted for 18 years. It's just put on a back burner. And that's when, the end of that 18 years, that's when Haggai comes into the picture. And just like we read, his message from God saying, "Consider your ways." So let's just look at the text from the very beginning. "In the second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month." That's one of the good things about the post-exilic prophets. They're very diligent about dates, and so we can trace that back through this text plus extra biblical text and to know that that was August 29th, 520 BC. And the messenger is Haggai, and the message is going to Zerubbabel, who was the governor, and it's important that it's the governor and not the king, because the king is still Cyrus. Israel is no longer an independent state. It's a vassal state of the Persian Empire. And Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, is the high priest. So he's the religious leader. Verse 2, thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says, the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. Now, I don't know about you, but when somebody says, this man did something rather than, you know, your husband or that's a pretty tough reference. If you did throughout the Old Testament, I'm sure you all know that often he lovingly refers to the Jews as my people, the apple of my eye. It's not what he's saying here. This people kind of reminds me of when I was a kid. I knew I was in trouble when my dad would come home and my mom would say, do you know what your son did today? That's when I knew that it was about to get pretty heavy. So verse 3, then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate? You yourselves. Now that sounds kind of redundant, but that is a often used tool in Hebrew, in the Hebrew language. Repetition is used often for emphasis. A good example is Genesis 2, verse 17. I'm sure you're familiar with, but in the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. If you look at the original Hebrew, you will surely die. The word surely doesn't show up there. It's moth tamuth, which literally translated would go something like, die, you will die. And it's meant to give it a serious emphasis. You will surely die. So that tool was used quite a bit by Hebrew writers, and I believe that's what's happening here. You yourselves, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate? And paneled is also very significant because in that time, their houses were, you know, made of mud, brick, stone, not very aesthetically appealing. So if you had extra time and extra money, you would make a veneer of wood and cover your house with panels. No real utilitarian use there, but it was pretty. It was nice. But it shows opulence. It shows that I got nothing better to do with my money, so I can, you know, it shows where their focus was. Meanwhile, the house of the Lord, by his people, it was left desolate. It shows priorities. It really, that was not important right now, which is unfortunate. Verse 5 and 6, now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And this one, consider your ways, in the original Hebrew, consider, it's literally set your heart on your ways. And I think that's a very good way to put it. Consider is not a bad translation, but set your heart on your ways. I mean, that really speaks to pay attention. You've got to look at what you're doing and the consequences of what you're doing. Get involved in this process of reasoning that we're doing here. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, But no one is warm enough, and he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. I've heard that complaint at my work over and over and over again. That's probably one of the biggest ones, is I work so hard for this company, and all I get is just a pittance. It's barely enough to make ends meet. I can relate to this. I don't know about anybody else. I can see where this would be a frustrating situation. And this is what they're going through. These are the ways that they need to set their heart on and understand this is what's happening to them. And it's reiterated, once again, repetition. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Set your heart on your ways. Go up to the mountains. Bring wood and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. Now, the temple isn't completely made of wood, but this speaks more to the time is now. This is the time. You need wood to build scaffoldings and make the temple out of the stone and the brick and the gold that it needs to be made. And this speaks to now is the time. It's time to get to work on this. Verse 9, you look for much, but behold, it comes to little. And when you bring it home, I blow it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because of my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. And here you see the Lord is taking responsibility for what's happening to them. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, the little bit that you get, I blow it away. Why? And then he answers his own question, because of my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. And runs to his own house, that exemplifies enthusiasm. They really enjoy their own house. Their house is paneled. That's where their emphasis is. That's where their focus is. But the Lord says, my house lies desolate. If it really was up to you guys, I would be homeless, is what he's saying. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew and the earth has withheld its produce. And I called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, on what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, and on all the labor of your hands. That's a lot of stuff. That's everything. That's God's sovereignty. He's in control of all of it. And he's doing this because they're not putting him first. Their priorities are on themselves. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people showed reverence for the Lord. Now, this is verse 12. The word obeyed. Zerubbabel, Jehozadak, and the remnant obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. The word obeyed in the original Hebrew is the word shema. And it works for obeyed, but it can also be translated to listen, and listen intently and observe what's being said. And this is, I think, where the repentance is obvious. They heard what was being said to them and they believed it. They understood that they were being selfish. They were not putting God first. And then they showed reverence for the Lord. This is my favorite part. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by commission of the Lord to the people, saying, "I am with you, declares the Lord." This wasn't because they built a nice altar. They didn't make an offering. They hadn't started working on the temple. They changed their heart. That was it. At this point, they realized and they repented. And the moment they did that, the Lord went from "this people" to "I am with you." Verse 14, "So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, the spirit of the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month of the second year of Darius the king." And this shows also, once again, God's sovereignty. He stirred up their hearts. They repented, but he was the one who set the fire. So, in conclusion, what we can take away from this is, if we're feeling like we're gerbils in a wheel, and our work is coming to nothing, maybe it's time to re-examine our priorities. Maybe it's time to see if maybe we are being a little selfish, and it's time for us to consider our ways, to set our heart on our ways and put God first. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this word that you've given us tonight. Thank you for the insight that we can have into the love that you have given your people throughout their history, and that love that we've been grafted into as believers in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your Son and the redemption that he has bought for us with his blood. Thank you for this time of fellowship together tonight. And we pray, Father, that we can take what we've learned here and use it to your good. And we pray these things and all things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.